Thank you for participating in my survey. So, looking at this list, how does it make you feel? Do you feel that maybe you raised your hand and realized, oh, there are some other people that worry about the same things as me? Like sometimes in our worry, right, we feel like we're on an island. We feel like, I'm the only one that worries about this. I'm the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one that gets concerned or anxious about these things. But then as we start going through some of these, you realize, huh, wow, like my friend over there, they're pretty solid in their faith, and they still have worries too, right? And so tonight we are talking about worrying. We've talked enough about already the different things that we worry about and what you worry about most. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to defeat idols, right? The false gods that distract us from the one true God who created us and loves us. These aren't the actual idols like we read about in Scripture. These idols might seem harmless, but if we give them control over our lives and allow them to be the boss of us, they can destroy us. So in week one, we talked about the God of me, right? And said that the only way to defeat the God of me is to give up your seat and allow God to sit on his rightful throne. To put ourselves last and to lift others up. And in week two, we talked about the power of that our possessions can have over us. So the God of stuff, right? And said that the only way that we can defeat the God of stuff is to let go of our things. And so today we are going to defeat yet another nasty idol, the God of worry. So I already kind of showed you. This was my little God of worry guy in the you see, that's a chicken mask. This is funny stuff. It was like a little rubber chicken that you fling, and Eden's like, the head fell off. And we're like, Angel and I are working out this afternoon, like, anyway. And I'm like, oh, I need that chicken head. And she's like, what? I'm like, I need the chicken head. Do you need the rest of the body? No, I need the head. It was divine intervention. Because if it weren't for the chicken, rubber chicken head, you guys were going to be stuck with a Lego guy who I tried to make look like a little chicken head. Okay. But these are other things. Like maybe some of you guys, when you were kids, you were worried about dinosaurs or Star Wars characters or snake guys or skeletons in your closet. Upside down. Minecraft. All right. So we're talking about the God of worrying. Maybe you've never thought about worry as something that could be the boss of you, but today I want to take a look about how worry can actually be a false god, right? And an idol that we worship whether we realize it or not. All right. So again, let's flip over to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. This is where we start each and every week. Actually, I'll just have someone. Someone, would you flip over to Exodus 20, 1 through 3, and then when you get there, I would like you to read it. So whoever gets there first can stand up and read it. Carter.
God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of the house of Israel. Shall have no other God.
Okay, it's been thousands of years since God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and said this. Maybe it seems like something that written that long ago couldn't possibly still be relevant today, but here's the thing. Thousands of years ago, last week and even today, the God of the universe continues to remind us that we should have no other gods or idols before him. And at first glance, worry may not seem as threatening or dangerous as the God of me or the God of stuff, but worry can dominate your life, if you don't know how to handle it. It's so easy to let worry become the boss of you and control your decisions of where you go and where you don't go. But here's the good news. It isn't news to God that we all struggle with the God of worry. He knows it. And even better, he's even given us exactly what we need to defeat it. So in what ways do you think that worry can become an idol? Hannah. Okay, the worry consumes you, so you're dwelling on it constantly. So what has taken the throne in, what has taken the seat of the throne of your mind? Is it God, or is it the thing you're worrying about? That's exactly right, Hannah. I really like that definition. What else? Are there any other ways that you think that you can worry can become an idol? Yes, Elizabeth. It's constant. It's always pressing down on you, right? And that can become an idol. All right, flip over with me to our call to worship today was from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Everybody can flip over there, and I will read here in just a bit. So let's fast forward a couple thousand years or so after the Exodus story that we just read about God giving his command to have no other gods before me to the Israelites. And let's take a look at what Jesus has to say about the false god that we're talking about today. We're about to read what is probably the greatest sermon ever preached. It's often called what? I saw Thomas mouth it. Thank you very much. I can read your lips too. Sermon on the Mount. Right. So let's, and for those of you that may have already gotten there, you're thinking, oh yeah, I've read this before. And you go back to Matthew chapter 5 and you see the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. But that was good. All right. I want people interaction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a microphone in Katie's hand. And would you just read one verse and then pass it down? All right.
Okay, so before you start reading, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and it should start with, therefore I tell you. Okay.
Okay. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?
Look at the birds of the air; they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?
And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin.
Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?
For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all.
But seek his kingdom, and his righteousness of all these things will be given to you as well.
Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Some of you might be like, wow, how did AJ do that? He knew the exact number of verses. No, sometimes you just get lucky, okay? Sometimes you just get lucky. Like, let me tell you another one. Sorry, this has nothing to do with the lesson, but I made 70 copies of these notes, okay? This is a half page. Can you get one? Yes, you can get one. So I wanted 70 copies. That takes 35 pages. Here you go. If you needed to raise your hands earlier. Joel and Elizabeth were passing them out. I'm going to, here, Luke. If you need one, tap Luke on the shoulder. Okay. But anyway, I needed 70 copies, so I put 35 pieces. I needed 35 copies, right? I crazily put in exactly 35 pieces of blue paper without even counting. It was awesome. It's like, thanks, God. That was cool. All right. Yeah. You guys are wonderful. All right. Jesus named some things that I think we've all worried about from time to time. And even I see some that are overlapping with our top 10 list that we made a few minutes ago. We worry. And Jesus said we worry about our lives, our safety, our image. And that's just a start. And here's what else he shows us. Okay. Seth, can I have you click to the next slide, please? Oh, look at that. All right. Worry steals our focus. 25 through 27. Actually, I'm just going to look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Okay. Worry steals your focus. Worry takes our focus off of God and what he can do, which is anything that he wills to do, right? And our worry then focuses it on what we can do, which is very little, okay? I'm going to say that again because that's a big idea. Worry takes our focus off of what God can do, which is what? A lot. Anything that he wills to do. And worry takes our focus off of that, and worry puts our focus on what we can do, which is what? Very little. Yes, very little. All right. At the end of the time tonight, we're actually going to... How many of you guys have ever heard the Serenity Prayer? The Serenity Prayer. Yeah. So Serenity Prayer, it's on the back of your notes sheet. We're going to, hopefully, if we have enough time, watch a Skit Guys video. How many, if you guys haven't seen Skit Guys, you're going to love it. The reason I put it at the bottom of your page, if you want to, like, you could even, like, cut off the bottom portion of your page and, like, tape that somewhere. I think it's a good reminder. And for a few years, when I was in banking and just different jobs, there were a lot of things I was worrying about, and I just had to remind myself of that every single day, and we'll talk about that. That Serenity Prayer just says this: God, this is on the back of your sheets, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, right? I put my focus away from God, who can do very big things, and I put the focus on me, who can do very little things, and I just need to have the wisdom to know, whoop, I need to refocus my attention and allow God, who is in control, to be on that throne. Have you guys ever seen a bird grow their own food? No. Doesn't happen, does it? Of course not. No bird has ever done a thing to make, grow, or earn the worms or the seeds or the fruit that they eat. They simply reap the benefit of God's goodness and provision. And aren't you more important and valuable and cherished than a bird? I think so. What is one reason that you guys sometimes worry about God providing for you? Elizabeth. Say it again. Waiting. Yes, we worry about things because we're waiting. Hold on. Oh, man, this air conditioning thing drives me nuts. It's so loud. That's why I can't hear you. And I shut it off. It's actually on off, but yet it's still going. Okay. We sometimes worry about God providing for you because he sometimes makes us wait. Okay. Why else? Dan. We don't trust that he can. We put God in a box and say, God, this is what I need, but oh, that might be too much. You might not be able to do it, right? Yes. Yeah, we can't see it in motion. It's not an assembly line where we say, okay, I see my prayer has been accepted here, and now it's just got to go down the conveyor belt and get on this Amazon truck, and then it's going to arrive at my door in 24 hours or less. The prayers don't work that way. What else? Anything else? Okay. I like both of those. We lack trust. We're impatient. Luke, did you have one, or are you just kind of just thinking? Just thinking. Okay. All right. Sorry. So let me just flip the script. So sometimes we worry about God providing for us. What is one way that God has already provided for you that you can be thankful for?
You got to say it real loud.
Okay. People that he surrounded you with. Travis, really loud. You're thankful for life. You're grateful for life. Yes, we have it. Anything else? As you guys are praying to God for specific prayer requests, and you see God answer them. Maybe these prayer requests are people in your life that don't yet know the Lord, and you see them come to faith. I want you guys to look on these first couple pages of your Bible and write down these answered prayers, right? These are great things that we can be thankful for. It's really hard to be anxious, really hard to be stressed, really hard to be worried when we have a grateful heart. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You guys know that one, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Wow, God, that was amazing how you wove that together. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's hard to be worried when we're thankful, right? Make a thankful list, because worry focuses on you, okay? Let's read verses 28 through 30. 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Oh, let's go back to 27 because that's really good. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? All right. We worry about our image way too much. What we look like, what we wear, what others think about us. I mean, future was kind of up at the top of the list, but relationships, family, and self-image, those were way up there. So, let's look at the next slide, Seth. Bada-bing! What is that? A flower. What kind of flower? A lily! Yes, a lily. Right? They're gorgeous, but a lily doesn't sit in a field and think, wow, I look amazing, or am I better than that other lily over there? That's how I think lilies would talk. They have a little southern, they have a little southern accent. A flower is beautiful, yet completely unself-conscious and completely not worried about its own image. This is kind of a hard question to ask. This is more of a small group question, but since we're kind of a large group, summer youth group, I'm just going to throw it out there because you can answer if you want to, or you can just say, oh, that was a rhetorical question, which means don't answer it, but it's not. When it comes to your image, what do you worry about most? Elizabeth? How people see you. Personality, okay. What else? When it comes to image, what do you worry about most? Hannah. Impact that you're making in the world. That's a good one. Carter. Clothing, yeah. Can you say, do you want me to repeat it? Okay. When it comes to your image, what do you worry about most? Not being viewed as an individual. We talked about this on Wednesday night. And that was really good. So, yeah, not being viewed as an individual. Anything else that comes to mind? Luke. Okay, yeah, I'm worried about how I act around people. Am I too goofy? Am I not goofy enough? Am I cool? Am I not cool enough? Am I, smart? Am I not smart enough? Like, there's a lot of things that we are concerned about when we're in groups. When I'm thinking about when it comes to your image, what do you worry about the most? I'm not going to put any adult on the spot, but man, I think a lot of us have got to think, what happens, what happens if I tarnish my image? Oh yeah, okay, leading well, that's a big one. I just think that's gotta be a big worry. Like our image lasts this side of eternity, right? And what we do for the kingdom's sake lasts. But I'm just thinking, there are a lot of things we can do, and I worry, are we making wise choices in such a way that our image is still reflecting God? That should be a big thing, and that goes into what Dan was saying about leading well. Matthew 6, 31 through 32 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Worry makes you conform. I mean, it is no kidding, like Jim's sermon this morning, the last song we sang, which was the first song that I already had downloaded that I was playing as you guys were walking up today. Like, man, God, and then what's happened at Greenwood Mall today, like, God knew we needed to hear this, right? We live in a world where you are continually being lied to conform to the patterns of this world. Right? So worry makes you conform to the patterns of the world. When you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to think and to act and to be different from the rest of the world. But worrying is easy. Worrying is what everyone else does. So when you worry, you conform to look just like the world around you. What's the third image? Seth? Hey, it's an aluminum foil guy. All right. When you look just like the world around you. Unbelievers, okay, sorry if that makes any of you guys like, oh, I'm scared of that guy. Don't be scared of that guy. It's just a picture. Unbelievers conform to the worries of this world because they're focused on what they can do, not what God can do. So you, on the other hand, are called to something much, much better. You're not just called to conform. You're called to stand out. So do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Yes. So, what is an example of a situation where worrying about this, worrying could cause us, tell me about a situation where not worrying could help us stand out from the rest of the world in a good way. I'll say it again. What's an example of a situation where not worrying could cause us to stand out from the rest of the world in a good way? Really? Nothing? So leaving things into God's hand, knowing that there are some things that we can control and there are some things that we can't control. But God can control everything if we lay it at his feet and we allow him, we trust him. We have faith, right? You know, I think about the way that we respond in situations where tragedies happen and hardships happen and families and sicknesses and mass shootings, which has happened today, in protests. I mean, how many of you guys were kind of worried back in the day where there were all these protests happening for all sorts of different reasons in downtown Indianapolis and they were coming to the burbs and all of a sudden we're like starting to get concerned and we're thinking, okay, how can we respond in a way when we don't worry and that this can actually stand out from the rest of the world? Because why does that make us stand out if we're not worrying about these things? Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. Hannah. We trust in the provision of our Creator. I could not say that any better. Yes. So, even school, guys, let me just say it this way, like, right? An example of a situation where not worrying could cause you to stand out. Think about school. Think about test taking. Test taking, kind of stressful, right? For everybody. But your preparation, your studying, your good work ethic, which you work for the Lord, not for man. You work for the Lord, not for grades. You work for the Lord. So you study unto the Lord. You invite the Lord to come in with you. So the way that you even approach taking tests and the lack of worry could cause you to stand out from the rest of the world because you believe, yeah, you could say, well, yeah, I studied because I deserve whatever grade I studied for, and I'm going to trust that my studying was good enough and that I work as unto the Lord and not for man. So you know, I realize at the end of the day, my teacher gives me a grade, but it's really God who I serve. And I think that's a testimony to that would echo throughout your school. So this little god of worry. I know, it's ridiculous. But this is what I worried about for, like, I don't know, 6 years of my life. So how do you know when you're worshiping the god of worry? Here are some things. Here are some ways that you know. When you're focused on your needs, when you're consumed with your image, and when you're filled with fear. Let me just repeat that. When you're focused on your needs, not your wants, right? Because we already know that our wants sometimes need to just realign with whatever God wants for our lives. But when we're so focused on our needs, thinking that God can't give us what we need because we see, in verse 32, Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. When you're focused on your needs, thinking God can't handle it, when you're consumed with your image, you might be worshiping the god of worry. When you are filled with fear to the point where you think that God has not the ability to guard your heart or your mind, you might be worshiping the god of worry. So which of these do you struggle with most? Worrying about your needs, worrying about your image, being filled with fear. I'm just looking up here at our board. I think those are some good categories here. And what do you do if you fear you've been worshiping the god of worry? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Your needs. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many people, because you worried, added a single day to your life, an hour to your life? No, you didn't. You can't, right? We defeat the god of worry when we seek God first. It is that simple, but it's also that difficult. So how can you focus your attention on Jesus instead of your worries this week? Give me some tangible ways that you can focus your attention on Jesus instead of the things you're worried about. Praying instead of worrying. Okay, that's a good one. I'll give you a hint. I told you to do it earlier. It starts with a THANKFUL. Make a thankful journal, right? How else can you focus your attention on Jesus this week instead of your worries? Carter? Sing praise? Yeah. Sing, yeah. In my heart there rings a melody. Anyway, people ask me all the time, like, why are you always singing? It's like, because I've got a lot of stuff to be thankful for. And so hymns are easy to remember and just be thinking about, like, wow, like, these are things that we can be praising God for and drawing our attention to Jesus instead of our worries. Anything else? Read your Bible, people. Right? Like, that's one way. That's a big one. I know that sounds like a Sunday school answer, but it's okay because it's actually the right answer for this question. How can we focus our attention on Jesus rather than our worries? Let's look in the Word for guidance. Let's not look to the world for guidance. Let's not look into ourselves for guidance. Let's look to the only source of truth that we have. All right, flip over. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's near the back of your Bible. It's right before 2 Peter. I'm going to read verse 6. Man, that's just a good section. We're going to start in verse 6. So 1 Peter 5, verse 6. If you have a Bible, I hope that you do. Please read with me. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you." Verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him," God, "because he," God, "cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because what? Who cares for you? Dan Harley cares for you, but who else cares for you? God cares for you like a father, better than any father that's walked the face of the earth, right? Here's what I know to be true from my experience. Whatever has your focus will grow. I highlighted this on your notes. Whatever has your focus will grow. When you focus on your worries, they grow. But when you make the decision to focus on Jesus, even when you're scared or worried or unsure, your trust in him will grow. So if you're struggling with worry right now, let's take a step toward defeating that idol right now as we turn our attention and focus to Jesus and seek him first. Seth, I think we have enough time for this. Guys, enjoy this part. Will you start the video? This is, hopefully we have audio. I didn't test it out. He did, maybe. All right. This is about a 10-minute video. It's really good, and it has to do with the serenity prayer that I put on the bottom. And then I'll just close this up after. So it's a 10-minute video. I probably got 2 minutes of closing thoughts, and then you guys can just hang out either in the gym. If it's not raining, you can go outside, whatever. But that's kind of the plan for the rest of it. But I think this video kind of drives home a great point. Skit guys are pretty entertaining, but they are very theologically sound. So without further ado.
God.
I'm right here.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. You pray this prayer a lot.
I love this prayer.
It's a great prayer.
It's one of my favorite prayers.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you really understand it.
Oh, I do.
I don't know that you do.
Oh, I do. I really do. I understand the prayer. Yes, yes.
Okay, that's pride, and we'll deal with that later. But I want right now to just slow down, and let's really think about what you're praying.
Slow down. Okay. Yeah. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things
I cannot. Okay, hold on. Yeah. Do you even know what serenity is?
Yes, I know what serenity is. Yes, it's the... it's the act of serening, you know, it's serene IT, it's serene, you know what, he was a knight in King Arthur's court, he was serenity, and he was there, and he was kind of the tranquil, nice knight, you know, and then one time Lancelot and King Arthur about to do fisticuffs over Guinevere, you know, and he had enough, and he just said, serenity now, you know, and everybody thought he was talking about himself, but he was really just stating the philosophy of life, which we now use in this prayer. So hashtag serenity now.
So you don't know what it means?
Nary a clue.
Serenity. It is the absence of chaos. It is a hush, a pause.
A hush, a pause. I like that.
I want that for you.
I want that for me too.
Good.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things.
Hush, pause.
Yes.
You've already negated the prayer.
How have I negated the prayer?
Because you're saying something you don't really mean.
No, I do mean that. I mean that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't.
How?
Think about it. You are always in the mix of things, constantly trying to...
direct.
Manipulate.
Direct.
Manipulate.
I think we should use the word direct.
You cannot manipulate me. Listen, I just want you to accept the simple fact that there are things in life that are beyond your control.
Right. If I'm just to be honest with you, God, I think I like being in the mix of things. I like being in the middle of things, even if I shouldn't. I guess it gives me some significance in some sick, twisted way. And
if I were to turn it all over to you, I don't know what you're going to do with it, and I don't even know if you're going to include me in it. But I know, I just need to trust you, and just believe and trust that there's nothing that you would not give me that I could not handle.
No, uh-uh.
What?
Yeah, I never said that.
No, but you said...
No. I get misquoted so much. See, what I said was that there will not be a temptation to overcome you that you can't handle. As long as we're talking about this kind of stuff, can I just tell you something? When I close a door, I don't open a window, all right? That is just weird, all right? If I don't want you to go outside, I'm not going to give you another way to go outside, all right? Listen, this life, sometimes it's really going to be tough. And there are going to be things that come at you that you cannot bear. But nothing will ever come at you that I cannot bear.
Thank you. I like this hush, this pause. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the...
Hush.
Huh?
Pause.
Yes?
Let's talk about those things that you can do something about. See, my Holy Spirit has prompted you to do some things, and you haven't done them.
Okay, in my defense, all right, if we're to look at all the things that I directly manipulate, all right, and then we see that the time that I have left, it's not a lot. I mean, there are just things that I got to do in life just to get things done, okay? This has just been a really busy season of life, all
right? That's an excuse.
Okay, well, here's not an excuse, all right? Your word says to get wisdom from other people, and if I'm going to do my dreams and my visions that you want me to carry out and do, I need to get wise counsel before I take a step of faith and do them.
Okay, but you're using that as an excuse.
It's not my fault.
That's an excuse.
I'm terrified.
That's it.
I'm just terrified. I know what I've done. I know the mess that I've made of my own life. And I know what it's like to fall on my face and then to think that I'm going to step out in faith for you, to even attempt to do one of those dreams for you and to use the DNA that you've created inside me and take a step of faith. I don't want to fail and I don't want to fall.
I have picked you up every time you've fallen. Every time. And I will continue to pick you up. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and self-control. I want you to live out of that.
I know. I just need to let go and let...
Me.
Yes. It's a really good phrase.
It is.
It's just so hard to do.
I know.
God, I'm so afraid.
I don't want you to be afraid. Trust me. Hear me. That's how we're going to deal with your fear. That's where you'll get your wisdom. And wait on my timing. Don't get ahead of me and don't lag behind me. But you wait on me. That's when you're going to mount up with wings of eagles and you are not going to crawl through this life anymore, but you're going to start running. My child, you're going to run. You're going to run and you're not even going to get tired because you're not running by your own strength. You're running with my strength. That's the way to truly live life. And when you do that, you know what?
I can do all things through you who gives me strength.
Yes.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Aren't you going to do the whole, hush, pause thing right here, God?
No. No, you're starting to understand how precious life is.
Sure, I'm trying, God. Ever since I said yes to you, ever since I've realized what the cross is all about, I'm so thankful. I try to savor every day, every breath that I live on this earth, and I'm so thankful for the yeses that you've given to, allowed me to have all the yeses. Thank you, God, for the yeses. And God, I'd be remiss not to thank you for the trials and the tribulations, the times that I've fallen on my face, oh, the times that you've turned just beauty out of chaos, God. I'd be remiss not to say thank you because the hardships have led me to a pathway of peace. But God, this world,
hush.
Oh, huh?
Pause.
Yes.
This world, like my son, I want you to accept the sinful world as it is, not as you would have it be, and trust that I will make things right.
I surrender to your will.
Right.
Living one...
Hush.
Mm-hmm.
Pause.
Yes.
Surrender.
Yep.
Surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender.
I can't.
I can.
I can't.
I can.
I am not.
I am. I am the great I am. Don't forget that.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
Let me teach you the unforced rhythms of my grace. Oh, my child. You're living this life with a clenched fist. Inside of you is this hurt child who keeps building up walls because you don't want to hurt again. And just as a child holds on tight to something that it's afraid to let go of, you are holding on to your hurts and your hang-ups and your habits. And you will never overcome them by white-knuckling them. This life that I gave you to live was not meant to be lived with a clenched fist, but with an open palm. Surrender. Trust me. Okay.
I surrender. I will trust you with all my heart. I will lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge you. And I'll just trust that you're going to direct my path. That I may be reasonably happy in this...
Hush.
Huh?
Pause.
Yes?
Now, let's say the prayer together.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting the hardships as a pathway to peace, taking as you see it, sinful world, not as I would have it, trusting that he would make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next.
Amen.
Back on, that'd be great. Hey, it's there. Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. If you had not heard the Serenity Prayer now, you kind of know a little bit of the background behind that. I don't know how God might be, what he might be saying to you today, but I hope these words are ones that you can remember from today that are words of comfort and of hope. Yes, worry can consume us. Yes, it can sometimes feel like there is no way of escaping the fears and anxieties that control us. But worry is just another idol that God has told us to cast aside. And remember, he's given us everything we need to do that. He has given us himself. So this week, it is my prayer for you that you would allow God to help you defeat the idol of worry in your life and that you would seek him first and see how focusing on Jesus starts to make those worries grow just a little bit dimmer. Let me close in prayer, and then I do have one more thing. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. In the midst of a world where worry could consume us because we live in a fallen world where the adversary, your adversary, prowls around like a lion seeking to devour. And one of the ways he devours even followers of you, Lord, are by planting seeds of worry and doubt. And so, Lord, help us to trust in your word that you did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power. Let us live in light of that, knowing that we are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.